dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, wherever you may be, and welcome to SVC Sports Talk. This is show 151, brought to you as always by Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I am Bruce Knox of DBK Media Services, along with the one and only Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. Shane, how you doing this evening?
Good, good. How about you, Bruce?
I am very well. We're recording this on Sunday evening, and the snow is coming down outside, but we hearken to the fact that tomorrow is a President's Day, lots of schools are off and so forth, so all you teachers out there for this particular night, kind of wish it was maybe tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to get the snow and risk canceling basketball, let's at least get some days off school.
That's right. We have to get something good out of it. So this is our show 151, and last week we recorded our big 150th show, and I've not had a chance to really hear how the feedback was for this show, Shane. So What did you get in the inbox and Facebook or Twitter or whatever however they may have contacted us? What'd they have to say?
The first thing we really need to do, Bruce, is thank the fans. I know you're giving me some feedback there on the numbers. It was one of our biggest shows really throughout the 5-year history, and especially here in season 5. So that's really encouraging. That's exciting to let us know that 150 shows in, and now we're doing show 151, that it's still going strong and people enjoy listening. And also had some nice feedback from some potential sponsorship. I'd like to welcome C&K Athletic Equipment on board. You've heard me mention them just a little bit. We got them squared away, and I encourage baseball coaches, softball coaches, all the different spring coaches coming up here. Check them out up in Circleville, Ohio. You can find them on our scoreboard pages, 740-477-9828. Let them know that SVCSportsZone.com sent you. So that's exciting. As far as the show, Bruce, it was it was really kind of fun to look back. I know, just talking personally for a second, it was fun to look back on our time here on SVC Sports Talk and look at some of the live calls and looking forward to doing more games. I had some awesome feedback on our girls all league. I put a lot of effort into those, and you know, then once the official list comes out, there's just a natural comparison there as you look back and forth. And you know, there's not a lot of differences, but the major difference probably comes a little further down the league. And had some nice discussions back and forth on why, on how sometimes as a league, it was maybe shared or an outright title, or maybe just in terms of how certain coaches view the order of certain teams, how that can influence some of those final spots. So that was some fun discussion. Had a chance to get out, see Uniota getting beat by Chillicothe. You know, I was there. What an incredible high school atmosphere that was. And then we see Southeastern push them. You know, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, that means winning's hard. Yeah. You know what I mean? It still means Uniota's really, really good. They're going to get everybody's best shot. And, you know, when you get in that D2 level, you've heard me talk about it, the athletes are different. It's a better matchup of the Uniota enrollment, their depth, their size, their talent. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, a lot going on. Appreciate the incredible support the Cider Valley Conference gives the show. And the feedback was certainly a lot of fun to take a look at and then, you know, break into some conversations with people.
I just wondered if you when you do those teams, I think that kind of would be a lightning rod perhaps for some some not so favorable discussion or some not so favorable comments. Do you get anybody that really gets mad at you about that?
You do. And that's natural. You know, I've been in coaching now 20 years in multiple sports, and so you just understand that's part of it. Mm-hmm. So it's no different on here when you play the role of a coach, media member, whatever you want to call it, and do those things. But it's also very encouraging to get some of the intelligent feedback and some of the different questions and so forth. And, you know, it goes both ways. A lot of times I'll have a kid that, you know, maybe the coaches didn't have on the official list for whatever reason. And, you know, those people very – so, yeah, you get a little bit of everything. But as I've always said, it certainly doesn't beat positive or negative away from the aspect of getting to highlight the kids. You know, when we talk top 15 players in the league, usually you'll hear me mention 21, 22, 23 names, and because you have to in order to break that process down to 15. And that's what, you know, we're here for. That's why we do the website. That's why we do SVC Sports Talk. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, fans, as always, our marquee advertiser or sponsor, as we should say, again on our podcast number 151 is the Triple Crown Family Fun Center. We want to talk a little bit about them, and they are located, as we say, at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just located off of Bridge Street behind the Hampton Inn. We so appreciate their continued sponsorship of the program. It's a great place for people of all ages. Your young kids and your older kids can go there, too. I think soccer leagues are still underway there, if I'm not mistaken. But if you don't even have anything to do with soccer or even athletics, you can still go out and get some great Cardo's pizza. They have some great sandwiches out there as well. Of course, they've got the inflatables and the arcade games and so forth for all the kids. So give them a call if you want to talk to them about what's available, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. And tell them Shane from SVC SportsZone.com sent you, because they'd be glad to hear that. And again, you can also look them up on the web. They're easy to find, and their website's pretty well stocked with all the things. Lots of pictures, lots of bright colors, and it's a good website for getting information from. But you can give them a call if you have anything. So, well, what do we got in the can for this week's show, Shane?
You said it last week, Bruce. Obviously, one of the highlights of this week's show is the boys all SVC team. You know, last week we did the girls, and obviously a week behind that here, the boys come to the end of their regular season. And as the boys are coming into their regular season, we had an exciting girls week with the makeup situation. We had our SVC championship play out, and then we get to the tourney time. So not just the league title, but some tournament titles. You know, maybe even throw a shout out to some of our JV and junior high champions and so forth. But yeah, a lot to get to this week. Should be fun.
All righty. Well, sounds like a great hour of information and entertainment. So, fans, up next, we take a look to Thursday and Saturday, where we had all sorts of championships being decided on the girls' side. Well, Shane, we did mention it earlier. Tournament play was underway this past week, earlier in the week, and kind of a tough stretch for the bottom half of the SVC.
Yeah, it was. You know, Paint Valley, Adina, Zane Trace, Uniota, they get started there early in the week. Paint Valley was able to get a first-round win. And then they just run into an incredible South Webster team. And, you know, you heard me talk a little bit about Paint Valley, the value of getting in a game like that is they have a really young team and coming back next year. Unfortunately for them, Bruce, I still kind of think that Paint Valley was probably better than every team in that sectional, with the exception of two teams, and they happen to play one of them.
Yeah.
So just, you know, what that shows that young group of Lady Bearcats is they'll just need to improve on that regular season next year, and they're going to put themselves in a nice position to win a sectional title. You know, Adina, Zane Trace, and Uniota all fall in the first-round matchups. And so, yeah, before you know it there, the league was kind of cut in half. But you kind of knew going into the weekend that, you know, the top half of the league, you're talking about four teams that had won 15 or more games in the regular season. So you're hoping it would turn for the league for the better.
Well, in addition to tournament play, Thursday night, let's talk about that, when the Lady Panthers of Southeastern were crowned the SVC champs.
Really a cool night for the SVC Girls Basketball League, in my opinion, Bruce. With the makeup situation, you kind of get a unique night where it's kind of right out there by itself with a chance for the media to really take notice. The radio was there. Really, really good crowd. Two good basketball teams went out. Southeastern beat Huntington 61-53. Really close basketball game. Southeastern showed signs of pulling away two or three times. Huntington got all the way back within a possession or so. And Ellis Gaines was really special in that game. 24 points for the SVC Player of the Year. And Huntington, you know, they ended up going to what they used to stay in games more times than not, which is the three-pointer. They hit nine of them from five different kids. But I tell you, in the end, Skeens and company, just a little too much. Collins, Wheeler, and Mitten also in double figures there. So, in fact, I think I put something out on Shout-O-Matic that night. Bruce, do we have that clip?
Congratulations to the Southeastern Lady Panthers as they win an outright championship as they win 61-53 out at Huntington tonight. The great, great basketball game. Great atmosphere for high school girls basketball in the area. Radio was there to cover it, and I just thought it was a real, real well-played game. Two really good teams playing really hard against each other. Ellis Gaines, such a special player. SVC fans really had a special performance with 24. Put a lot of pressure on Huntington throughout the night. Led to some foul trouble for the Huntsmen. Now, to Huntington's credit, they continued to fight from double figures down a couple different times to get it all the way back within a possession. Come up a little bit short. As we said on SVC Sports Talk throughout the year, they're a team that can really shoot the three ball. They hit nine of them tonight from five different kids to stay close. But again, Skeens and company, just a little too much in the end. Congratulations, Southeastern. Check out the website for all the details.
Yeah, and a lot of times, fans, if you're not familiar with that, you'll hear me kind of recap it the way I just did here on SVC Sports Talk. But I think if you enjoy getting more than just the score on a Friday night or a Saturday night, or really throughout the week of any sporting event that's throughout the league, the Shout-O-Matic's a great way to follow me. If you follow me on Twitter, a lot of times those will pop right there for you as well. So just another nice feature we do to try to cover the league. But yeah, a great game. Congratulations to Southeastern. That wrapped up that outright title. Do want to throw out there, Bruce, that the Huntington JV girls on that same night capped off their undefeated season. They're the league champions. Now, I have not been receiving all of the junior high. I know the junior high girls, mm-hmm. 7th and 8th grade, Uniota had awesome teams this year. They win all of those, regular season and tournament. I know on the boys' side, I believe Southeastern beat Zane Trace in the tournament. Zane Trace wins the regular season. If I'm wrong on any of these, fans, please get me corrected. I did not hear the results of some of the 7th grade stuff, and I know that was happening over this past weekend. So Uniota JV boys, I believe, win the league the other night. But again, haven't been getting a lot of those details, but I tried to do my best on the junior high and JV pages too, so did want to give them a shout out.
All right. In addition to the tournament play earlier in the week and Thursday night's crowning of the SVC champs, what about Saturday, sectional Saturday for SVC? Four teams were in action. Your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously the best we could do was three because you had the Huntington, yeah, Piketon OSVC final. But again, your top four teams there, really good basketball teams. As I said, throughout the regular season, anytime you start winning 15 to 20 basketball games, you're talking about pretty good high school teams. And, you know, Southeastern coming off of their championship 48 hours later, they cut down a sectional net. Again, it was Ellis Gaines with a big afternoon there, scoring 28. Westfall, they beat Oak Hill, their pair of 1,000-point scores, and Stone Rock and Robinson leading the way. And then Huntington and Piketon, they split the regular season matchup. And it was everything you would expect. It was tight. It was physical. It was 30-30 entering the last quarter. And Huntington ends up finding a way. Piketon really defended that three-point line well throughout the afternoon. Finally, Huntington's able to break through, hitting four threes, probably in the last, 10 to 11 minutes of the game, and that probably proved to be the difference. Kara Blanton in the losing effort for Piketon, outstanding, 18 points. I believe unofficially it was 14 rebounds. And then on the Huntington side, it's their backcourt. It's been all year. Carlon Cox with 17, Ariel Sams with 13. Ariel now is 22nd all-time, Bruce. 1,299 career points, and she'll get a chance to go over that 1,300 career mark here in the upcoming district game against Ironton. So, exciting afternoon for the league. The Huntington Piketon matchups, that is expected. I made the comment that if Huntington and Piketon played a best of 11, Bruce, it would probably be tied five games to five games, and the 11th game would be heading overtime. I mean, it's that was a quite a matchup for SVC fans, I'm sure, to watch, and it was as expected, tied all the way down to the end.
Well, with all the excitement on the girls' side, the boys finished up their regular season, and fans, you know what that means. It's time for Shane to give his all-league selections. We'll have that up next. Well, Shane, here goes some of the most difficult stuff you've ever done, I have a feeling. Why don't you give us an overview of what goes into making this year's boys' selections?
I'll tell you what, Bruce, I put a lot of time into this this particular year on the boys' side. And again, it's something I always take pretty seriously. I try not to just throw it together. I try to put a lot of thought into it. I obviously see a lot of games. Rarely do I go through a year where I haven't seen every player play, oh, probably three, four, in some cases, five, six, seven times. So you know, I get a lot of chance to see a lot of matchups. Again, get a chance to see a lot of film, you know, for whatever reason of coaches trusting me with that and giving me the opportunity to do that. So I guess in terms of an overview first, what makes this such a difficult process is all the unique situations, Bruce, you have with some of our league's most talented players. Like, so here's what I mean by that. At the beginning of the year, if I were just to randomly start picking, say, the top 20 players in my head that I'm going to be keeping my eye on throughout the year, we've gone through some unique injury situations. We've gone through some all-league players playing at an all-league level for about four, five, six games and then maybe running into some disciplinary action, maybe quitting or leaving the team for a variety of personal reasons. And again, none of those reasons that we'll get into here on SVC Sports Talk, because you know my policy on that in terms of dealing with high school kids. So I don't bring it up to talk about those things. I simply bring it up to let people know that, you know, certain teams might feel like, well, we finish here, we get this, this, or this. Well, you know, in my opinion, it may not work that way. It's really kind of a weird year. I've always felt like we need to have the opportunity to maybe do some honorary members or to do some different things that allow us to honor kids that we know have performed at an elite level, or maybe throughout their careers have proven already to be an elite player and to no fault of their own. So again, I'm not talking about the disciplinary actions here. I'm talking about kids to no fault of their own simply get hurt. Okay, so maybe, you know, they miss half of the year. Well, to me, a lot of times I take the all-league selection so seriously. You know, there's something to be said in terms of playing in 20, 21, 22 games compared to saying half the games. So now I know what the league's going to say, because I've been in these meetings now for about 15 to 20 years in multiple sports. I know the league's going to say, no, we have the bylaws and this is what it says. We're selecting 15 kids and, you know, you'll have to go talk to your principals. Well, that sounds great. But the problem with that is this, Bruce, and allow me to get on the soapbox for a second. I really am going to give you a top 15 here in a second.
That's fine.
But the problem with this, the coaches are the ones that have to go look the players in the eye. The coaches are the ones that have to go back to the player who's worked, in some cases, 4 years for them, every night in practice, 2 hours, plus meetings, plus film sessions, taking the butt rippings, doing all the different things you ask of them. Then they're the ones that have to answer this. The principals aren't answering to these families. You know, they're not answering to the kids that have worked hard for them. And so it bothers me sometimes that a coach is not trusted. I'm trusted to handle large sums of money. I'm trusted to do paperwork. I'm trusted to do every different thing. I'm trusted to get on the radio and talk about my kids and our community. I'm trusted to get in the paper and talk. So I'm hired to do all of these different things. But then you're telling me that I'm not qualified to step out and speak on behalf of my school in something is in our in an area of expertise for, say, the coaches in terms of selecting all league. And it really, really bothers me. So to me, I think if we could do something with the honorary members, I think it would really allow us to still highlight a lot of kids, but maybe truly get a sense of the kids throughout the entire year that have had all league years. Now, so there might be a lot of coaches out there that disagree with me. I obviously welcome feedback from anybody in terms of fans, parents, but I would really like feedback from some of my peers. I would like some feedback from the coaches in terms of, did you run into the same problems? Did you have trouble figuring out how you were going to handle a Cottrell of Uniota, a McFadden of Paint Valley, a Mowry of Zane Trace, and with some of the kids that that were playing at a high level for 5, 6, 7 games and then maybe no longer with the team? Did that influence how many kids that you say that a Zane Trace gets or a Paint Valley would get or a Huntington would get or an Adina would get? You know, there's a lot of different factors here. So that's just some of the things that I threw out there. So I guess the reason I bring that up is for my list, Bruce, I'm going to go ahead and name Cole Cottrell and Anthony McFadden as honorary members. These are kids that Cottrell, when he left Uniota's team due to the serious injury, he would have probably been my player of the year at that halfway point. He was leading Uniota to a runaway undefeated season, and I felt like was the best all-around player at that particular time through those particular games. The McFadden kid, obviously someone I'm very, very close to. Anthony's a 1,000-point scorer. He's probably a top-5 talent, certainly having a top 7 or 8 players in terms of second half that he's been available to play. But I'm going to just kind of name them honorary members because, again, I don't know exactly where the missed games puts them. So, again, just to clarify, because I know I've kind of got onto to a topic here that I wanted to make sure I was clear on. But before I get into my list, I'm not sure where to put a Cottrell or a McFadden. So I'm going to name them honorary members. So you have Cole Cottrell and Anthony McFadden, by all means, should get an opportunity to go to the banquet. They should be honored as all league talents. If, you know, two more dinners is going to break the bank or two more certificates is going to break the bank, then let SVCSportsZone.com know and maybe we can
help fund
that.
Yep.
The as far as coach of the year, before I get into my team, I think Coach Hoops is the choice here of when you do what they've accomplished, that's the no-brainer. Do want to say Coach Smith and Coach Coker with what they've done in terms of some of the tough breaks and what they've still been able to accomplish, as well as Coach Young in there in the process of building a program. Those guys have done an amazing job. But again, I'll go with Coach Hoop. So that's kind of where we're at on the overview. I wanted to just throw that out there for awesome discussion because I think it's something that needs to be talked about a lot more. And then let people know that Cottrell and McFadden are going to go with an honorary member here on the SVCSportsZone.com team.
Okay, it's kind of like the elephant in the room and has to be addressed, I think, with those particular ones. Okay, so we move on then. The big time things coming up here: player of the year and the rest of the first team.
Well, I'm gonna be real honest. Going into the last week or so of the season, I had given Jonathan Thomas maybe in my mind just a little bit of an edge, but some of the performances Pierce Mowry has put forward, I am going to go with the co-player of the year. I think the reason being, Bruce, I don't always get crazy about the co-share, but in this case, I think you have a situation of simply the best player along with the guy that's maybe had the most complete year. And again, to no fault of Pierce's situation, he was hurt a little bit. But the job that Jonathan Thomas has done from start to finish, sometimes we remember what we just watched last and we forget to appreciate maybe the entire 20-plus game season here. So if I take just Pierce being the best player and Jonathan having the best year, I think it just makes perfect sense when you look at what these two have accomplished to go to the co. So from that point, Eric Cosley will represent Uniota on the gold ball champion Sherman squad. Corey Wyman of Westfall's a no-brainer. Then I run into my first really, really difficult situation here, Bruce, and that's with between Dylan Swingle and Justin Dye. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Dylan Swingle at Paint Valley. Now, Justin Dye's a terrific player, terrific left-handed guard there for Southeastern's. Had a great year, put his team into the fifth-place finish. I know Paint Valley didn't have quite the year they wanted to have, but Dylan certainly, as a sophomore, is a step to the front here and really become an elite player in our league. I know had the 34-point game there against Edina a couple weeks back, and it's really pretty consistently averaged that 18 to 20 points. He's an accident double-double, you know, with his size. He rebounds the basketball. He blocks about three shots a game. I watched him play two times here recently, Bruce. And I think unofficially, I had him for three blocks in both games, and I bet you he changed another 15. Just his presence defensively is something else. So, yeah, I'm going to go Mallory Thomas to share the award there at the top with Hosley, Wyman, and Swingle. And then I kind of let you know that Dye will drop out of that second team.
Okay, speaking of second team, how about lining that out for us?
Well, here's where I think the depth of Uniota has to be honored. I start to look through and you know, some people will start to do these things and they'll say, well, usually what happens is we spread the wealth. And, you know, I certainly get that. And if that's your philosophy, that's fine. To me, I guess I look at a situation where Uniota wins the league by four games. They, you know, and most of those games were not that close, become third, fourth quarter. So as I get to my second team after Dye, I really start to get to the Uniota depth. I'm going to go Logan Swackhammer, Brandon Kennedy, and Isaac Wheeler, all there on the second team with Dye. I think this is the order of Uniota that you'll probably get a lot of people disagreeing. People know how I feel about the point guard spot there with Swackhammer. The Kennedy kid's been one of the elite shooters in the area all year long. And then Wheeler's presence in the post has really been an X factor in the league that just doesn't have a lot of post presence. That last spot could certainly go to, I'm not kidding, Bruce, could probably go to about five different kids, because as you get to this 10 spot down through 15, you really do get to probably 9 or 10 kids that all start to make their case for these spots. I'm going to go with Casey Moore there of Piketon. I just some of the times I've watched him play, I think he's had a tremendous year. Really score the basketball, and he scored it against elite competition. You know, I know he had a big game against Uniota and did some things. So he's really become a player. So I think I'll have him round out my second team there in that 10 spot.
Okay, moving on then to our third team.
Well, here's where you start to try to sort them out a little bit more, because as I just said, there was a lot of people. You know, I went with Moore, who was probably about seventh in the league in scoring. I went with him in that spot. Now you get down to a situation where you're trying to balance some of the scoring as well as some of the overall stat sheet stuffers, if you will, that we talked about last week. And as I get into this top 15 here to finish out the top 15, I'm going to go Colin Corey of Edina. I'm going to look at the two Westfall guards. At first, I was worried that I was going to have to determine, do you look at some of the scoring that a Chase Adams has done, or do you look at kind of the overall impact of a Hayden Mink? I personally would have probably went with Hayden Mink, but as I started to sort the numbers, I'm going to have room for both of them, which I think is very fair. So Mink and Adams, both of Westfall, will be there. Then I'm going to go with the Volgamore kid, Piketon. And then in that last spot, as always, we have some different options there. You have some different ways to sort it out. With some of the situations as Huntington went through, you have the – I know the McCloskey kids had a nice year as a freshman. I know Adina certainly would make a case for a third kid if I just ended up giving Westfall one. I'm going to go Tyler Carroll of Southeastern, real, real good shooter. That'll top off my top 15. But, again, the postage kids there at Adina have had a nice year. The McCloskey kid at Huntington, Bronner, Anderson, there's all of the ZT seniors. So you might look and say, well, ZT got shut out a little bit after Mallory being player of the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. I think there's some unique things that happened throughout the first, say, 7-8 league games that I don't really want to get into on SVC Sports Talk. But I think basically what you had after a really special talent in Mallory is you had about five or six Zane Trace role players that all did their role really, really well. And if you look at where they finish, maybe by the process, they're supposed to get a second kid. For me, I've even thought about this all day. To me, if I'm just doing this the fair way in terms of my evaluation, I have Mowry there in that player of the year spot, and it goes from there. So a lot of people will also disagree with Uniota getting that many and cutting out a Huntington kid like a McCloskey. And believe me, I think Elijah's got a bright future ahead of him. But gosh, I don't know how you start naming the top 15 players in the league, Bruce, and don't name the Uniota starting five. I mean, I think they're that good. I really do. So, again, a lot of fun as always. I would be shocked if I don't get a ton of feedback, positive and negative, on this, because I know how hard this was, which tells me that there's going to be a lot of subjective viewpoints out there at all eight schools. So, again, fire away and let me hear what you're thinking.
Yeah, you mentioned to us before we started taping that this was definitely the toughest year that you've experienced doing this.
Yeah, it was, because usually what you get is you'll run into a couple tough decisions. Like for example, that 5-6 spot a lot of times is tough. Yeah. Who's going to be first team? You know, you'll run into it maybe at the end of the second team. You'll always run into it. I don't care what year it is. You always 15, run into it, that 15 spot, because you can start like I did there tonight. I could give you 5-6 different kids that could replace Tyler Carroll, and I would be okay with that. But those are natural things that you might agree to disagree on. This was bizarre, because you can't even start to list 15 kids on paper, Bruce, until you attack the question of how are you going to handle Cottrell? How are you going to handle McFadden? Because keep in mind, if I put Cottrell and McFadden on the list, which they obviously belong, well, now obviously two kids have to come off.
Right.
Are you putting Cottrell on first team? So does that mean Swingle drops? Are you putting the McFadden kid on second team? Does that mean Uniota only gets to the four? Does one of the Uniota kids I mentioned that played in all 14 of the league games for the gold ball come off if Cottrell comes on? So a lot of different things there. I'm not going to sit here and promise you I have all the right answers, but what I do think the basketball coaches need to have a much, much bigger say in terms of how we handle some of these things, because they're the ones that, one, have to live with the results and go back to their kids and families with it. And two, they're the ones that put the time into it. They're the ones that really know the ins and outs of the process.
Well, we kind of lay it out there, and we hope to hear from you. And we'll talk about how you can get a hold of us in just a little bit. Now it is time for the fast break. Shane?
Yeah, it should be a real fun segment. The fast break, always brought to our listeners by Crown Hill Golf Club. That's located, fans, up U.S. Route 22, west in Williamsport, just heading up Route 104. You're just minutes away there when you turn off. What you need to do first is give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. You'll want to ask for Dave or Kevin. And then, of course, as always, make sure you tell them SVCSportZone.com sent you. Well, Bruce, basically what I have here is a little word association this week. I'm going to ask you to read off some of the questioning, and I'm going to try to give you a particular word and then explain why I've selected that word. Should be a lot of fun as we break down this season and in a Jeremy Ward special, maybe even peek ahead to next year a little bit. So here we go. If you're okay with that, let's go ahead and get started with this week's fast break.
What word would you use to best summarize the 2015-2016 basketball schedule?
Let's go with historic. As we know, the Uniota boys, 41 straight. We know the 55 straight there in the regular season streak has now been snapped. But still riding at the 41 straight with the gold ball. Also, when you think of historic, what Mowry and Thomas, my co-player of the years, have been doing, they enter tournament play now, combined 3,132 points. Had someone throw out a question to me that I put out on Twitter a couple weeks ago, will Skeens and Swingle do better than that, or maybe even a Skeens or Woods in terms of girls players just being sophomores? We also had Robinson and Stone Rock, classmates of 1,000. Only Perpero and Roberts of the 87 class at Piketon have done that. Skeens is now a two-time player of the year. No one has ever been a four-year four-time player of the year. I know Bryden Ball in girls basketball, Sowers, Cassie Sowers there in volleyball has been three times. So, yeah, you even throw in 1,000-point scores with McFadden and Sams. I think historic does a pretty good way of describing this 2015-16 season.
What word would best describe the upcoming tournament trail for the SVC?
I'd say brutal. The girls are going to play three really elite teams with Lynchburg, Clay, Fairlane, and Ironton. Westfall takes on a Lynchburg Clay team that's, I know at the district vote, they laid out basically their entire lineup in terms of for all district, and it's pretty impressive. Fairlane team that's really, really talented, a good program. That'll be Southeastern's next opponent. And then Ironton is who Huntington will now play. Ironton won their sectional game the other day, Bruce, 87-11.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're very, very talented. Now, on the boys' side, it's basically brutal because it's an SVC tournament. When you look at what Huntington and Piketon went through in girls' basketball, and anytime you get that third time, that matchup there in the tournament, the brackets are just set tough. They're going to beat one another up. Basically, what's going to happen here, Bruce, in the Waverly sectional alone, the league is going to eliminate half of the league by themselves. So that's a little bit unfortunate that it was set up that way, but we'll see how it plays out.
What word would best describe SVC basketball next season?
Probably a word maybe like uncertain. Maybe even a restart, something like that. To me, there's just a lot of uncertainty. When you look, I mentioned 1,000-point scores of Sams, Robinson, Stone Rock, graduating a lot of seniors throughout the league, graduating. Some schools are excited about their JV and junior high teams. Well, let's face it, the varsity is a completely different level. On the boys' side, we talked Maury and Thomas, senior-loaded teams everywhere. Westfall with a really senior loaded bunch. You just heard me say that almost the entire Zane Trace roster now has turned to the senior class. So just a lot of talent going to be lost to graduation. So you're going to see some teams starting over. And anytime that happens, you're just a little uncertain what to think.
Speaking of next year, in a word for the boys and a word for the girls, who will wear the bullseye as the league favorites entering next season?
Well, the word on the girls' side would be Southeastern. And the word on the boys' side would be Uniota. And really, that's not that hard to come up with. Obviously, Southeastern with Skeens, Wheeler, and company coming back. Collins and the Mittens are all back. It's a situation where they're just going to be loading the year better. They're going to be huge, huge favorites. Now, Piketon certainly returns a lot coming off of a team that won 16 basketball games. So well coached by Coach Carino, led by an awesome post player in Blanton, and one of our real underappreciated talents in the league, and Avery Reuter at the point. Their guard play is only going to get better. You had a lot of youth at guard this year, and then you had some kids that are just had been away from the game and now coming back to the game. So their guard play is going to get better and better, and you throw in the size of Travis in there. The Blanton girl can really, really play. She's a handful. She really rebounds the basketball. So Piketon will be a good basketball team, but really Southeastern, led by Ellis Keynes there, is a no-brainer. Now Uniota with their sophomore class, I thought the Hill transfer really is going to impact next year's league. You've heard me talk about this. The same way Isaac Wheeler from a year ago impacted this year's league. Obviously, Fisher's been terrific. The guard play of Swackhammer and Kennedy's outstanding. But Hill comes in as a really, really talented kid. I look for him to be a top five, definitely top 10 player in the league over the next 2 years. So you get an addition like that, and these kids are coming back for two more years here. Uniota's going to obviously continue to be the team everybody's chasing because, again, the league they graduate a lot, and Uniota is going to certainly be the heavy favorite.
All right, that is our fast break, and we appreciate the sponsorship there from Crown Hill Golf Club. Hey, if you want to be a part of SVCSportsZone.com's SVC Sports Talk, we would love to have you provide us some input. You can do that through Facebook. We have two profiles there, Shane Combs, and then, of course, SVCSportsZone.com, Shane Combs. Also, Twitter, you can follow him if you're not already doing so for some good coverage with all the of tournament action coming up and so forth, you can hit him up on the email. That is admin1@svcsportzone.com. And then you can leave us a message at the DBK Media Services number, 740-569-3254. That's just a recorded message. I think you got 2 or 3 minutes there to leave a message and let us know, too, if you mind us using your audio on the program, because there's a good chance we'll do that. But we'd love to hear from you. Of course, we just laid out those the SVC Sports Zone top 15, if you will, or the three teams. And I know there's going to be some input that we get there. So
we did get a Facebook message here over the weekend, okay. Bruce. It was an interesting 1,000-point discussion. Mm-hmm. And a guy who I know really loves his SVC basketball and is really a good basketball mind, really knows the game well, always enjoy talking to him. He had sent me a Facebook message talking about how he thinks it's a good idea to really maybe try to educate a lot of people on the 1,000-point scores. I know Coach Jones, who there was at Zane Trace for a while, he's no longer there. He's gone into some different avenues, some hobbies that he wants to work with. But one of the biggest hobbies he has is he does a great job of researching local high school basketball. Hmm. And he's done some super things. And this Facebook message was asking that through some of his research and through some of our research, if maybe we couldn't highlight. So I thought that might be something cool for us to look at in some future shows, if we could maybe do some sit-down interview or maybe have some people on that have – watched some of the older mm-hmm. generation of basketball play, because, as I've always said, I can go back and, over a 30 year history, and I can talk at a pretty good level of basketball. So I can compare an elite guard, from the early 90s to now. But I think it would be neat to get some of that feedback back into the 80s and 70s and so forth, going on back through. So I thought that was a great suggestion, something I'll definitely kind of put in the bank of information for upcoming shows. So if anybody has any feedback there on how we can better archive and study the history of our conference, please pass that on. Let me know.
Yeah, that's a great problem to have, Shane. You're too young. That's all. That's all we just need some elder statesmen.
Now, if I could just be too skinny, I'd be sad.
Wouldn't we all? Hey, we talked a little bit last week about wrestling, and you got any information on what went on in the SVC wrestlers this week?
Well, I had a chance to talk to a couple of them, and it's exciting to see how they are so high expectations, I guess is the word, in terms of what they think they can accomplish. A lot of them have done really well in the past. What happens here, Bruce, is they get to go out in so many different directions. You have your division split, but then you also have your weight class split. So a lot of times what happens is as long as you're lucky enough to have some of your talent split, I think you can certainly have some success there. So what we'll have is we go into the next couple of weeks is we'll have some tournament results, and we'll have the opportunity to maybe even try to have some of them join the show or give us some feedback there. But, fans, if you Bruce has just given you so many different ways to get involved in the show. But if you have comments on our SVC wrestlers, get us some pictures up there on Facebook that we can utilize, and I'll try to get some shout-o-matic out. But I definitely want to give them – if you missed that on last week's show, you can go back. You can also go to the website, click on our wrestling page. You can see all of the list. But as I talked to some different coaches throughout the league, I also talked to a couple of our elite wrestlers in the league this week. They talked like that list of people there that were either first or second in their weight class in the league. They felt like over half of them had a legitimate shot to go deep into the tournament bracket. So something we'll keep an eye on, Bruce, and certainly wish them well, and we'll see what we can add to the show here in the next week or so.
Yeah, best of luck to all the SVC wrestlers. Our final segment throughout the basketball season will be our post-game comments, and that's brought to you, as always, by Crown Hill Golf Club. Check out their website at crownhillgolfclub.com, and anytime you visit the golf course or give them a call, make sure to tell Kevin and Dave that svcsportzone.com sent you. So let's move into this week's post game segment, and this is something I'm kind of interested in, what's going to go on here, and so much so Shane, about 2 weeks ago, was asked to give the State of the Union of the Scioto Valley Conference. So, Shane, I've got something special in preparation for that. Usually when we have the State of the Union, we have a little ditty before that. So I've asked Marge, our SVC Sports Talk organist, if she'll come in. Move over here, Marge. You ready now?
Yes. Okay. I all of a sudden just feel far more intelligent and ready to give all the current status of the league.
Okay. Well, here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Shane Combs with the State of the Union of the Scioto Valley Conference.
Well, SVC fans, I feel like the current status of our league is really, really good. It looks great on the surface. We just talked a lot of historic things taking place here in our basketball season. Our football league, although a little bit unbalanced, was really elite at the top, and that's something that is an uptrend from years past. Our running sports with cross country, track, even golf, yeah, they're a little bit top heavy, but boy, do those schools that make it top heavy prove to be elite even at the state level. So I think our league all the way around, you know, volleyball, baseball, softball, we just take that for granted how elite they are. I think the way we select our honors, the way we honor the kids, the way we cover our athletes, certainly better than most areas. I guess my challenge to the league would be to keep doing it and do it just a little bit better, because I think my fear is sometimes when you have such a great conference or a great thing going, you start to kind of put it in cruise control, for lack of a better term, Bruce. You start to say, well, okay, we do this, and this. Okay, well, why do we do it? And the answer so many times is because we've always done it that way. And if it's really working, that's fine. But I think you have to really step back and ask yourself, and I guess this is where I was going a little bit earlier, is in every particular thing, being it scheduling issues, being it from a financial standpoint, I think you have to be really careful. I also think we have to have people involved in making decisions that really have knowledge in that area, that have the vision over the last 15, 20 years, that can have a vision of where things are going in the next 15 to 20. My biggest concerns for the Scioto Valley Conference are not just SVC concerns, but probably just high school sports in general. I have a huge concern on what's going to happen to junior varsity sports, freshman sports, junior high sports here in the next 10 to 15 years, not just in our conference, but really statewide. I think it's an issue of Little League. We've really got to get the Little League issues under control. So those are some of the things that I would throw out there. I do think our league is really, really rock solid in terms of a lot of areas that other conferences are not. We're pretty, from a geography standpoint, we're all within about an hour. Mm-hmm. We know each other well. You've heard me say several times before, we're close enough to hate each other in a sports sense. We're close enough to love each other when things that are far bigger than sports, you know, come to the front and need that support. Sports is a huge, huge factor in high school and middle schools today in terms of student body, the morale, mm-hmm. and the different things that go. So I think we have those things working in our favor. But again, I really have a concern because we still, let's not kid ourselves, we still do have an enrollment issue here in the Scioto Valley, and that'll be interesting to see how that plays out here in the next decade, to see if the addition of wrestling evens that out a little bit here in the winter. Again, the junior high and the freshman JV sports are a concern of mine. Bruce, I have a question for you coming out of this State of the Union, and I think you're a really, really good one to ask. And it's about media.
Okay.
You made me think of this last week on our special 150th show. You've spent forever and a day around the TVC, and you know the TVC, correct me if I'm wrong, I've always gotten the feel as my brother started to coach down there, you have your town here, mm-hmm. your town here, your town here and your town here. And from a geography standpoint, there's a little bit more travel involved. You're not getting on a bus and going 15 minutes to play very many nights. It's usually closer to 50 minutes, an hour, hour and 20 minutes. But when you get there, it's almost like you're going into enemy territory. You're going into their town. That town is rooting for that team. Do you favor more of a setting that you've gotten to know here in the SVC family where you have one kind of 1 hour you know, circle of teams where basically all the media is a shared media? Or do you kind of like more of that widespread, here's my town, hey, that's your town over there, here's my radio, here's your radio, here's my newspaper, there's your newspaper, and we don't like you, you don't like us, and it's one of those types of things. Do you kind of get where I'm going here in terms of the different makeup of the conferences? What are some of the positives and negatives that you see on both sides of it that maybe the SVC needs to either, one, appreciate, or two, be aware of?
Well, you know, things are changing, but let's go back maybe even 10 years or so. Then you had local newspapers that were not consolidated. Now what has happened, for better or for worse, we've got had some consolidation of newspaper. Several of the smaller newspapers within the communities have been sold to a larger firm. And sometimes you'll see one newspaper in both markets producing the an article on a game. So if Vinton County, for instance, plays Athens, maybe the guy at the Athens Messenger covers the game. That's owned by the same company as the Vinton County Courier, and so the Vinton County Courier will, you know, publish the same exact article. So they kind of write it from a almost a neutral standpoint, or they attempt to. There's still, I believe, some bias in those kind of things. So, you know, in the SVC, you kind of already had that. You had KKJ doing games for, you know, a lot of the SVC teams already, kind of whether they're a home, you know, there's not a, it's not their home radio station to Uniondo versus, say, Zane Trace or something like that. KKJ kind of does it all. But it's kind of changed a little bit over the past, you know, now we've got those consolidations. We've got the, you know, Hardwood Heroes has become a thing for us on the TVC. The WUB's program, which, you know, they use their communication kids to produce. And they send out kids, you'll get, you know, this one's going to be the federal hawking representative, and he's always going to report on federal hawking or something like that. So you do get a little bit of a flavor there. But again, it's being reported through somebody that's a consolidator, if you will, and that's WUB for the entire area. We do have some local radio stations that kind of pledge their allegiance to a particular team. And that can be good and that can be bad. Again, they may be different radio stations and different people in the booth, so to speak, that cover a particular team all year long. But, for instance, when the Vinton County Vikings play the Wellston Golden Rockets at Wellston, we've got the Wellston guys calling the game, and it's broadcast over one of the stations that, you know,
I noticed that the other night on Friday when I got back in the car after my game here in the league that I heard that particular thing you're talking about.
So that takes away, you know, that takes away a perspective that would be out there if you had your own radio station covering that kind of a situation, similar to the newspaper consolidation. So I think it's kind of changing. I think the, you know, there's benefits and consequences to both. You've got a pretty good chance that your game's going to be on the radio, if it's not otherwise. And so, you know, we listen to foreign radio stations, if you will, sometimes to get our local coverage over here in Vinton County.
Well, are you a little bit surprised, and maybe this is something, if we're talking 5 years from now, if we're lucky enough to be in season 10 of SVC Sports Talk, with what we're doing here with the podcasting and what we're doing with the different live games that some people heard us call, so looking back on last week, are you surprised that some schools haven't gone more to the internet and getting their student body involved and getting more coverage per school and for their entire sports athletic programs?
Yeah, and I'm gonna throw out something. This may be even somewhat controversial, but something that I've been giving some thought to from perspective of a local team here is right now high schools are dependent on radio stations, let's say, to do their games, and so the radio stations are making the money off of that. That's kind of what they do. That's a service they provide, and they get paid by their advertisers to do the games. I don't know, in most small markets, none of that money flows back into the schools. So I'm thinking one of these days someone's going to say, you know what, we've got the internet, most of our people, our residents in our within our school district have internet, they could listen to the game. Let's take the place of the radio station. Let's do it ourselves, which they can do now with the advent of the internet. And they start doing the broadcasting, and they then maybe contract with the advertisers. And lo and behold, the radio station's kind of out of that. Now, that's right. That's not good for, you know, those people that don't have high-speed internet and can't get it that way. You're going to have some people like that, but the person, the alumni that lives in Chicago, you know, Chicago, Illinois, can listen to it if they want to. They can follow their favorite team back home every Friday, every Saturday night.
Well, and I guess that's why, as I'm doing a State of the Union, I see all these different things I like that we're doing well. We need to tweak a little bit, but I think it's impossible in 2016 to talk the state of anything and not at least have one eye on some technology. Because I guess what drives me back to starting 8 years ago on the website, 5 years ago on the podcast is, you know, I love sports, but I'll be honest, you know, there was a lot of times where I didn't want to pick up a Chillicothe Gazette and read a Waverly score. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, on a scoreboard show, you know, want to hear every Mid-State League coach. Now, I understand there's money that drives that, and I understand the – please don't get me wrong, people. What Chillicothe Gazette is doing and what the WKKJ is doing is awesome, and I appreciate it, and I want to continue to hope that they do more and more and more. I've never considered myself in competition with them at all. I'm just trying to add to the community. What I'm saying is I'd like to look at something that highlights our league a little bit more. If I'm going to be selfish, I guess what I'm trying to do here is, you know, if I'm going to sit down and listen to 2 hours of basketball talk on a Friday night, I just assume listen to 2 hours of SVC is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So maybe a little bit more detailed interview with some kids or some coaches or some different things. And I guess as I've listened to some of the other radio stations, and even here locally with the Chillicothe coverage compared to the SVC coverage, you get a little bit more of that on a morning to morning, a game to game, a week to week basis in terms of some feature things and some audio and so forth. So just something to throw out there. Again, I just think it's impossible to talk state of the union of just about anything at this day and age without at least peeking at some technology and how we can utilize it.
Yeah, and one other thing that I should say is I think most of the progressive radio stations are starting to stream their content on the internet.
Yes, good.
That's you know, in that's to take care of that person in Chicago.
Yeah, iHeart and things like that.
Yeah, you got iHeart and Tuned In and so forth. And I love that kind of discussion. And I just think the model is changing from a profitability standpoint, and that will probably, you know, that's you follow the money, that's where the coverage is going to come from, just like in so many other different things. I think that's what you what you're going to follow. So I think streaming is going to be something that everybody's going to have to do. And if not, and then a lot of, I know KKJ podcasts an awful lot of their stuff. They put a lot of their stuff up on their sites where you can go listen to it and so forth. So
yeah, they do. And that's awesome. And I guess that's what makes what we're doing kind of cool here. Yeah. Are we making a little money here at SVCSportsZone.com? Sure. We're making some profit doing some different things, but it's one of those things where this is still a hobby with the one goal of the Cider Valley Conference in mind. You've heard me say before, you know, we'll turn down money from all different angles all the time because we won't cover a Chillicothe. Mm-hmm. We won't cover a mid-state league. We won't cover an SOC because, again, we want to really highlight the Cider Valley Conference.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, good stuff.
It is. Appreciate the feedback there. Let us know, fans. Good show this week.
Yep. We're going to do it all again next week on show 152. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, everyone here behind the scenes helping me at DBK Media Services, for the soothsayer of SVC Sports, Mr. Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com. where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.